Philemon, verse 1-21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and prayer. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Paul's plea for one simos. One simos in Greek, or in English I should say, means useful. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you can consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. This is our reading today.
A university student wanted to sit next to one of his teachers at lunch. However, the teacher looked at the student with an arrogant face and said, "A swan should not be friends with a pig." The student answered, "Then I shall fly away." The teacher was clearly annoyed by the cheeky reply and decided to make sure to do everything in his power to fail the student at the exams. At the oral exam, he gave the student the hardest questions, but the student had amazing answers for everything. Therefore, hoping he could still fail his victim, the teacher asked him a trickier question. "You're walking on a road and you find two bags. One contains gold, the other cleverness. Which bag do you choose?" The student replied, "The bag full of gold." The teacher replied, "Unfortunately, I don't agree. I choose cleverness because that's more important than money." The student replied, "Everyone would choose what they don't have, ma'am or sir." The teacher turns red and he's so angry he writes "idiot" on the student's paper. The student leaves without looking at the paper. However, he returns shortly, gives back his paper and says to the teacher, "Excuse me, sir, You did sign my paper, but you forgot to give me a grade. Dear friends, my sermon topic for today is following God for a better tomorrow. I'm sure that many of you sat here this morning listening to Dave read from Philemon and thought to yourself, Philemon, is that a book in the Bible? You see, like you, it's not a book that I've given much attention to over the years. It's a short book with only one chapter and 25 verses. So for those of you who have never read the book of Philemon, you can proudly state that you have read the whole book in the Bible from start to finish. Friends, there's an old saying that dynamite comes in small packages, and it could not be more true for the book of Philemon. Philemon is a short personal letter written by Paul while he was under house arrest to his friend and brother in Christ, Philemon, about a slave called Onesimus. Onesimus had stolen money from Philemon and had run away to Rome, thinking that the large metro would be a good place to hide. It is not clear how he met Paul, especially as Paul was chained to a Roman soldier at the time. What is clear is that Onesimus became a follower of Christ in Rome and has a change of heart. In those days, the normal punishment for a runaway slave was crucifixion. But if his master was particularly kind, he would merely brand him on the forehead with the letters FF. It doesn't stand for Freedom Front. It stands for fugitive. He would have to wear those letters for the rest of his life, but at least it was better than death. Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon and writes the letter to send back with Onesimus to smooth the reunion. In the letter, he begs Philemon to treat Onesimus as a brother in Christ instead of a runaway slave. Since the penalty for desertion was so strict, the tone and the content of the letter were important. But Paul also knew that it was important so that Onesimus did not run away from his past, emphasizing the importance of repentance, that which is putting the past right. So using scripture today, I would like us to look at the book of Philemon and apply that to our theme, following God for a better tomorrow. I would like us to look at three aspects to the book of Philemon and apply them to our theme for today, which is follow God for a better tomorrow. The first aspect I would like to explore is a personal angle of the book of Philemon. There are three main characters in the book: Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. Paul, despite being in prison, still has time to deal with Onesimus and tries to restore and fix this broken relationship between Onesimus and Philemon. He sees in Onesimus a brother, not a slave. He identifies with Onesimus through that which connects them, which is love. His plea to Philemon is also based on love, and it's just that. It's an appeal, it's a plea, it's not an order. Philemon is a man who works for Christ. His family supports him. They have church meetings in their homes. Paul acknowledges that his request to Philemon is a difficult request. It will be difficult for Philemon to forgive Onesimus, and it will be difficult for Onesimus to go back and face his wrongs. But Paul says, nevertheless, let's all do the hard thing. Then there is Onesimus, the useful servant, soon to be restored to his master's household. You see, friends, Paul was simply doing to Onesimus what Jesus had done to him. He was saying to Onesimus, Jesus paid for you and rescued you and recycled you and sent you back to serve your father. In the same way, if we apply this thinking, our responsibility is to recycle people so we can reconnect them to God. One of my favorite passages in the Bible comes from Matthew 28, verse 19, and it's headed the Great Commission. And it says, I'm going to read it to you. It says, you'll remember this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples the following, just before he is taken up to heaven. He says the following, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, friends, one of the ways we can follow Jesus for a better tomorrow, for a better nation that we also hope for, is to do just what Jesus has commanded us to do. I often look at Facebook posts. Now, I'm often astounded what people will post in those little posts. One of the most recent ones I've read is, South Africa needs Jesus. Or, put God back into our schools. Or, put God back into our government. Have you seen those? If you're on Facebook, they're all over the place. It astounds me. South Africa does need Jesus, for sure. But what Jesus needs is Christians to be his hands and his feet, his voice. South Africa needs Christians to be Christians. Put God back into our schools. What a cheek. God has never left. He's always been there. He needs Christians to act like Christians and acknowledge his presence. Jesus needs us to evangelize for him, to speak the truth, to love like he did, to forgive, to seek peace, and to restore justice. South Africa needs Christians to be Christians. As we celebrate our church's birthday, let's remember this. Jesus instructs us in Acts 1 verse 8 to evangelize in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. It's quite interesting that he chose those zones as he unpacked that statement. Jerusalem, that was the disciples' immediate vicinity. If we apply it to ourselves, Jesus instructs us to evangelize to each other, our immediate vicinity, our families, those close to us. He secondly instructs the disciples to go and evangelize in Judea, where there are fellow Jews, people just like the disciples. Jesus instructs you to evangelize to fellow Christians, people like you. Then he instructs his disciples to go and evangelize in Samaria. Now, if you know the history of the Jews, there wasn't a very good relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. They didn't like each other. They didn't connect. Jesus is telling us this morning we should go and evangelize to those people that we can't connect to, those people we don't like. And then lastly, to the ends of the earth. Let us be recycled for Christ. Let us be branded with a double F, a runaway slave for Christ, so that we can put our past right and follow God for a better tomorrow. See, we need it, and our country needs us to do that too. The second aspect of the book of Philemon I would like to explore is a social aspect of the book. When I read Philemon, I was surprised not to hear Paul speak out against slavery. This would have been my angle to take with Philemon. I would have put on a huge guilt trip with him to accept Onesimus as one of his own. But Paul does not do this. So does Paul condone slavery? No, he doesn't. In fact, we know that Paul does condemn slavery if we read Timothy 1 verse 10. He's totally against it. But Paul in this morning's reading prefers to be known as a preacher of the gospel rather than a champion for social change. Quite interesting. he realizes that two-thirds of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves, and that to have to argue for the abolition of slavery would have been to argue for chaos in society. Instead, he fights that fight from the inside, challenging and changing relationships and attitudes involved. He urges Philemon to see Onesimus as a brother, an equal, and not as property. When we seek a better tomorrow, when we pray for a better society, how do we do that? Do we try and change relationships and attitudes in a manner which is fitting to God? Do we preach the gospel of Christ? Or do we tend to favor more towards focusing on becoming champions of social causes? This is a difficult question for me to try and unpack and try and meditate on. I think we can become so lost in fighting social injustice that we can lose track of our motivation for fighting in the first place. The early disciples spread the gospel, teaching people about Christ. They didn't go out and form an army to challenge the Roman Empire and seek revenge for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They changed hearts and minds. They recycled people for Jesus. So as we celebrate our birthday, let us be mindful of our mission in our society, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ first. My opinion, it is pointless to seek social reform if the reform you seek does not include Christ. The third and last aspect of the book of Philemon I would like to explore is from a spiritual angle. Friends, should we just say a quick prayer for sorrow? Let's close our eyes. Father God, we just, in this moment, bring sorrow to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would watch over him, that you would restore him, Lord, and give him comfort. So, Father, he needs you. You know, Lord, what to provide. So in this short prayer, Lord, we just lift him up to you and know, Lord, that you will bring healing to him and restore him to good health. We place him in your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The third aspect of the book of Philemon I would like to explore is from a spiritual angle. You see, the letter to Philemon is in a sense, a letter about our lives. We are the slave that ran away from God. Jesus came and paid our debts and presented us back to God, just like Paul did to Onesimus, to Philemon. In the theological terms, we have a picture of justification and sanctification. We are to accept as we are accepted. Forgive as we are forgiven. Show mercy as we have received mercy. Love as we are loved. If we don't do this, it means that we have not fully understood God's grace. This church is a place of such grace. A place where we can show mercy as we have received mercy. A place where we love as we are loved. A place where we worship and concentrate on the Lord. Where we gather to declare his greatness through psalms, worship, and instruction. Where we evangelize for Jesus and follow him for a better tomorrow. This church is not spiritually ill. Here we recycle lives. Paul shows us in the book of Philemon this morning that his personal salvation in Christ became the way he chose to live. All that Christ did for him, he did for others. It's a beautiful example of working out your salvation. So friends, as we celebrate our birthday as a church, let us not forget about the broken world out there. That our mission is to spread the gospel and to be Christ's light in the world. I'm going to close with a quote from Peter Story's book, I Beg to Differ. And if you haven't read the book, I really would encourage you to buy a copy and read it. And inside the book, and I think the first couple of pages, is a quote by Samuel Ryan. And it reads, "A candle light is a protest at midnight. It is nonconformist. It says to the darkness, I beg to differ." I read it again. "A candlelight is a protest at midnight. It is nonconformist. It says to the darkness, I beg to differ." Let this church, let our community, let us be that kind of light for Christ. Amen. Let us pray. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sin by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve him, Jesus, help us to recycle people for you so that we can create a better tomorrow. Help us to understand that through your grace and mercy we are set free as you paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Help us to understand that a better tomorrow is only possible when we place you first and not our own selfish needs and wants. Help us as a church to remember that our worship is always about you, that our worship emphasizes you, and through that we can restore ourselves. Thank you, Living Lamb, for this wonderful sanctuary. We can come to find instruction from you. We can come to adore you, and we can tend to the soldiers of your army, arming them for battle against the forces that seek to divide and conquer us. Lord, we know we play a part in creating a better tomorrow, a place where you are glorified, a place of love, hope, and peace. Use us as you see fit. Amen.